Welcome to Time Out. Good morning, everybody. Great Saturday morning here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and it is time for the sports show on WGTD Time Out. Today's guest, the head coach of the Bradford Red Devils football team, that's Coach Troy Bow, class of 1984, I can tell you, right?
Correct.
Went to school together. And we're going to be talking about him. If you're interested in how everything is going to be going today, we're going to break it into three sections. First one, we're going to be talking about the state of athletics overall. Second of all, we'll talk about the Bradford football team. A lot of really good things to talk about there. And then, well, we've got to talk pro football and talk about the Green Bay Packers. But let's get started with things as we hit the whistle. And we go into the second type of thing. First of all, Coach Bow, thanks so much for joining us today as we're going to be talking about sports overall in the first section. But before we do that, you spent the last how many years on the East Coast? Was it North or South Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. How do you enjoy the winter there, Coach?
Is it over yet?
Well, we can only hope. You grew up here, so you understand. How's your family dealing with it?
They're ready for it to be over, for sure, and I don't remember it being this long either. I was gone a long time. I was gone 27 years, so, I always remember as a kid, kind of the end of February, we'd kind of get a little warmer and a little warmer, and I kind of remember March being, actually kind of pleasant sometimes, and we haven't had that yet, but no. As we sit here and talk about it, it's warming up, so... the snow's melting. We were driving around the other day talking about, their question was, when do these big piles in these big parking lots, is it June or July before they disappear?
4th of July?
Right.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I really think they'll be gone by April, but I don't really remember, honestly.
Middle of May for the big ones. Okay, Coach, talking about the state of athletics overall, there was a lot of stuff on Facebook lately. Kenosha's going to be the third largest city in Wisconsin. We've had problems creating quality teams that win across the board. Why?
High school teams?
Yeah.
I think with the addition of Indian Trail, it's diluted the talent three ways.
That's what I said when they started it. Yeah.
And it certainly does, and I'm not saying that that's not needed,
right?
Because our schools were certainly overcrowded. Back when we went to Tremper, back in 84, there was 2,100 kids in three grades. That's a pretty large pool of athletes to pull from.
Right.
And, even years prior to that, winning state championships there, Bradford has since won a state championship in 2011, in football anyway. But that was prior to ITA being in existence. So it dilutes the talent pool in our town three ways, not to mention our private schools, St. Joe's and Shoreland and those. And
right.
Christian Life Academy is taking – they're taking athletes too, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it certainly dilutes the type of athletes we have. And let's face it, if you took our program at Bradford and the football program at Tremper, and you gave us half the kids on Indian Trail's team, and not picking which half they were, just
right.
Give me 50 kids and Tremper gets 50 kids, we'd be a lot better. Now we wouldn't have any room in our hallway. And we wouldn't have any room in our classrooms either. So,
and we are scholastic athletes. We have to remember what comes first.
Absolutely. Education comes first for these kids. And I think, obviously, it was needed. It's not like we didn't need a third high school. But I think we certainly, as coaches, we've got to find a way to develop our athletes. I know football-wise, some of our dilemma, and we're addressing that now, at the district level, we're starting to address what we can do to develop our middle schools. But, right now, all of our middle schools don't go to one high school.
Right. Well, let's touch that, because that was my next question for you. I call them feeder schools. There are middle schools. Do they use the same systems that the high school would use? And you brought up, you may split a middle school into two high schools or three high schools, theoretically, and there could be different systems in each high school.
Absolutely, and that was the way it was when I was here growing up, too, is, the five middle schools, obviously now McKinley's closed and we have Mahone, but there's still five, and those five schools to this point so far, are doing their own thing. And the schools we have to beat in our conference, and that goes for all three of our high schools, we have to beat Oak Creek, Franklin,
there you go,
and Horlick. Those one high school communities, Franklin and Oak Creek, those kids are playing in the same offense and the same defense since their youth football days. Those kids are all going to the same middle school and playing the same things. I know one thing we're going to implement at Bradford, because we are fortunate in that we do get all of Bowen's kids. We do get all of Washington kids. I know that those two coaches are going to be very closely tied to our program, and they are going to start running Bradford's offense and Bradford's defense. And that's not to say I'm going to dictate to them, you will run these
sure.
plays. But the plays that they have that are similar to ours are going to be called what we call it, so that the kids at least grow up in that terminology. And what's changed, I think, for me in Kenosha on the youth level is it's all travel now. What, you know, if
right.
we really want our football programs in Kenosha to compete for state championships, we need the Kenosha Ramblers to run our offenses
the
and
club,
our defenses.
The club teams.
Correct. The,
yeah.
the club travel teams that everybody's doing now. You know, and when I was here growing up, it was CYC. You know, we played for the Lions, or, you know, in our neighborhood was the Lions. The neighborhood next to us was the Packers.
I was saying, it was the CYC Packers where
right.
I grew up.
Right. You know, and we, you know, even then, we did our own thing. But still, the talent when it got to high school was only divided two ways. And I think now it's and back then even, you know, the youth programs in Franklin and Oak Creek weren't running what they were running at the high
right.
school. So now we're at a level, and even Coach Fletcher at Horlick, he has, if you went to Horlick on a Saturday in the fall, there's five games going on behind the school, and all five of them are mini Rebels, and they're running his wing T. So the kids that are growing up in that offense, the state champions last year, Muskego, those kids grow up in that offense.
Right.
They run that offense from the time that they start playing football. We have to get to that, and we're making strides. You know, hey, I really don't. I don't think I need second graders to run our offense and our defense. I think if I start getting seventh and eighth graders to do it, we're going to be fine. We'll compete with them. We'll win and be able to compete for state championships. But that's really the direction we have to go. Otherwise, it won't happen.
Let's flip as we talk about this. Let's talk about injuries. I got hurt. Jesse Salcida gave me knee surgery. Okay. Great guy, by the way. Hi, Jesse. But the there seems to be more injuries. Is it just me getting older, or are there more injuries? And if there are, is it because we're playing harder than what we did before? Because we're training in a way that we need to have more flexibility, and this goes for and I've been talking about this in ladies sports as well. I can't believe the number of ACLs and MCLs and all the knee surgeries for both the girls and the guys when we're at the varsity level.
It's huge. One factor would be that kids are bigger and stronger, certainly than they were 30 years ago, so the collisions, the impact is certainly greater. And I think one of the problems really is the specialization that we have of too many of our athletes that are now just focusing on one sport and doing that sport year-round.
So they create muscles that don't bend because they're only used to bending in that one way, where we would play 3, 4, and 5 sports and build all the muscles around it. That makes a lot of sense.
I think so. I think that's part of it. And, you know, we played in the street.
Right.
I mean, we didn't have the crazy video games that they have now, and we weren't, quite honestly, interested in those type of things. I can't tell you how many games of bounce or fly or 500 – you know, whichever
right.
sport you wanted to call it was bounce or fly or it was 500 in front of my house with my neighbors, you know, literally hundreds. And, you know, I didn't even play baseball in high school, but I played a ton of Little League, a ton of Pony League, and I played a ton of fast pitch up at Forest Park School,
right.
one-on-one against another guy up against the wall. But we also played football up there all the time. We played. And I don't think our kids today play. They don't play. They sit in their sedative, and they practice, certainly, and they concentrate on their one sport. But they, when they're home, they're home. And they're on their video game or their phone, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is that they're looking at. They're not going out to play when they're young kids. I've got two young daughters, and they don't play. You know, they don't go out and just play. They don't, you know, with their friends.
There we go. We're switching. We're going to Bradford, Coach. Tell us about the Bradford Red Devils as we are, what, we're in March. So April, May, June, July, 4 to 5 months away from the beginning of the high school season.
Yeah, it goes fast. You know, we're weight room now. We've had some pretty good buy-in, especially from our young group. We had an excellent freshman class last year. They finished 7-1, lost to Franklin by a touchdown at Franklin. So a lot of really good athletes in that group, and they have our best attendance in the weight room so far. And in what we do is we're lifting 3 days a week, lifting, conditioning, speed work, stuff like that. And I've, you know, kind of laid the foundation in tracking their attendance. Our freshmen are at 80% attendance rate right now, and that's every freshman that finished the year on our team last year.
But you're really limited. A lot of people don't realize that the WIAA limits what a coaching staff can do to be able to work with players in the off season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What they allow us to do right now is only lift weights. And we can do speed and agility work, obviously, too, but that's part of the weight training process. But we can't get a ball. We can't set up an offensive line and block dummies. We can't put plays in. We can't put coverages in. We can't do any of that stuff, which is, you know, that's been a huge change for me, because coming from South Carolina, we could do all of that stuff in the off season. We could take our kids outside every day and work on routes and work on coverages and stuff like that. And here, the WIAA, what they allow us to do is basically nothing until the summer, and then we get 5 days of contact
right
in the summer. One of the unfortunate repercussions, I think, of that is it's led to the rise of 7-on-7 travel teams. So it's become, unfortunately, like AAU basketball, where we do have kids playing travel 7-on-7, which I'm all for. You know, I want them to go work on their skills and be a better receiver, be a better DB. But I don't want that to take away from our team. I don't want them to miss our team activities and our team building that we do during the off season, our team weight room and stuff like that, because they're going to some 7-on-7 tournament that they paid money to join this team for in Milwaukee, and they're going to a tournament
sure
with that team, so they're missing our stuff. And that's what the rules really promote. And, you know, I'm so new to Wisconsin as far as the, you know, the how they come to their decisions, the WIAA and things like that, is they've really, by setting the rules the way they do, they've pushed their kid, our kids, away from our high school coaches and towards club coaches for 7 or 8 months in the off season.
And I'm going to tell you the problem I have with that, Coach. I know you. I've known the other coaches that are at the high school and the middle school level, and I know that you guys know what you're doing. I always don't happen to agree that those club coaches are that the all club coaches have the best interest of the kids at heart, the way that many of the coaches that I've met at the high school level do.
Well, I think that's the dilemma, is
they get bad habits.
Well, you know, I'm not even really so much worried about the football technique part of it. I think the coaches at the club level, and I don't know a lot of them around here yet, but I don't care what sport it is, whether it's baseball, travel teams, AAU basketball, and these club 7-on-7 teams, those guys are doing it to make money.
Right.
They're in it for profit. Our kids are paying them a fee to be on their team. And yes, they go once a week and they get a 2-hour practice in, and they get coaching, if you will, and then they travel and they play games. That's great. But those people are also telling them, this is how you're going to get recruited. This is going to get you a college scholarship.
Right.
Pay me this money. Come join my team. Whereas if the WIAA would change the rules and allow us contact with our players in the off season, I told two of our kids the other day. They told me what they were paying, and I said, you know what? Spend 2 hours with me a week if it were allowed, and I'll get you better than when you go there for 2 hours a week
right. For
free. And we'd care about their grades and stuff like that.
There you go.
And that's, the problem I have with these guys is they're selling them on, oh, you're going to get recruited. You come join our team, they're going to get recruited. I told our kids the other day, I have met with a ton of college coaches since I moved back to Wisconsin. Not one has asked me what 7-on-7 team does he play on, or where's he going this weekend to play 7-on-7. They don't go watch, and they don't recruit you based on 7-on-7. It's not real football.
Right.
They care what you do on Friday night.
Let's talk about your philosophy. Are you a systems coach, or do you change what you do depending on the talent that you put on the field?
I think we change what we do depending on the talent that we have. I think especially defensively, which kind of has been my forte, we're going to adapt to our personnel. And really, we kind of adapt to what we're playing. Our first three games next year are against wing T teams. We won't play anywhere the same type of defense or even the same kids that we play against Franklin that will play against Waterford and Badger and Horlick the first three games. We'll put bigger bodies on the field and more linemen and linebackers on the field those first 3 weeks than we will against Franklin. That's just my philosophy. Is we might have 20 different kids that play defense during the year, but we're going to adapt and have a scheme that's adjusted to our opponent. But we're also going to look at our own personnel and say, hey, maybe this year we can't play a lot of 4-3 because we don't have four linemen. Or we have an overabundance of linebackers, we need to be in a 3-4 a lot more. So we'll play more odd front. So I think we adapt that way, and I think offensively you have to do the same thing too.
30 seconds left in this part before we go and we talk about Green Bay Packers. Coach, this week has been huge in the news about people that have gotten into college because they were able to get scholarships and never even did the sport before. They mom and dad had money. They paid for it. This didn't surprise me. I mean, we both went to school. We all knew people when we went to college, didn't we? That they got academic scholarships or they got athletic scholarships because mom and dad had the right name and had the right amount of money. I don't see anything different than what had happened before. Dad's going to build a new library wing. The kid gets accepted to the school. Here's $50,000, and the kid gets accepted to the school. What's the difference?
I don't think there is any.
I mean, there's a moral problem. Don't get me wrong.
But
I don't see anything that hasn't been happening for at least the last 50 years that I know of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of how our country's been. That's
just
how it is. If you're going to donate money to an institution and you want your son or daughter to go there, that's kind of how it's always been. So if you want your son or daughter to get a scholarship to Clemson, donate money.
Yeah.
That's fine. And, I don't know that, obviously morally there's some questions there, but
right. That's
just kind of what makes the world go round in our country. That's how it is.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I looked at my wife at dinner last night and said, boy, there'd be a lot of people I know that'd be in jail right now. But there we go. Now what everybody's talking about, the Green Bay Packers, Coach. Big, big deals on Tuesday night into Wednesday. And let's talk a little bit about Ed Rudger out of Baltimore. That's Zavarius Smith, 8.5 sacks last year. Big, big opportunity for the Packers on defense.
It is. And last year was his breakout year. I think 8.5 sacks right. is the most he's had. Hopefully he's on the upswing. Obviously an outside linebacker who's pretty athletic. The other guy from Washington who's also Smith.
That's Preston Smith.
From what I've read, Preston is more highly regarded than Ladarius, I believe. Hasn't had the sack numbers as far as what Ladarius had last year, but he's real stout against the run, every down player does a really good job, and he's kind of the bell cow, I think, that, they need to be out there every down, and I think Ladarius may be more of a situational rusher, but let's hope his 8.5 weren't a flash in the pan, and they paid him, however much they paid him, and he goes back to his 4 or 5 sacks that he had his rookie year.
Let's talk a little bit about the idea. It looks as if the Packers are going to stay with a 3-4 instead of a 4-3. You're a defense guy. Kick that around. Explain the difference to me. And wouldn't I want – my understanding on the 3-4 is the most important position is the nose guard. You need somebody that's going to completely dominate the middle of that field for a 3-4 to be a good defensive scope.
Right. I think what the Packers count on in their 3-4 is they count on their nose guard to eat two blockers, at least the center and one of the guards. They count on him to draw a double team, which that leaves less people to block, obviously, the other defensive linemen and the outside linebackers who really play, a modern-day 3-4 a lot of times is like an old-school 5-2 on rundowns.
Okay.
You'll see the Packers, mostly what they do is on early downs or obvious run situations, they'll have their three down linemen in the game and their four linebackers, but their outside backers are walked up on the line of scrimmage, so it's really a 5-2 look, and they need that nose guard to eat two blocks. And nowadays, they're so specialized is when it's an obvious pass situation, they're really in a four-man front. They stay out of their odd front, and they don't really have a nose. They'll leave two of their D linemen, and there's even talk of the either one of the Smith guys or even both of them. They slide inside over the guards, and then they'll bring somebody with some more speed or something to be an outside rusher on pass situations. So it's a four-lineman look.
Do you keep Matthews to be that specialized guy? Because that's you're talking about exactly what I've heard some of the pundits per se say. Hey, if they keep Matthews, they're going to push everybody inside. Matthews is going to line up outside. There's nobody that's going to be able to get to the outside to be able to block him as they go inside as he rushes.
Yeah, I think that depends on the market for him though too, and what he's looking for. Because in that scenario, he's playing third downs and second and long, and his snap count is greatly reduced, which I do think makes him much more effective because he is older. And how much cap room do they have? Do they have enough money to sign him to a 2-year deal that's, $4 or $5 million a year? Would he take that?
A cut to be able to be on a team like that.
Certainly. In order to be on Green Bay, he's going to have to take a pay cut for sure. They're not going to – he's just not worthy of $10 million, $12 million a year anymore. He's just not that kind of guy. But I think there is value there if he's a third down outside pass rusher that, he could get $4 or $5 million a year for a couple years there. And I think, from what I watch, he still has a great motor. He plays super hard.
Right.
He really does.
Let's go to Adrian Amos. We stole him from the Bears. Didn't bother me at all. My wife had a fit. She is unfortunately a Bears fan. I apologize now. One of the top safeties last year, but it's much easier to be a top safety when you have great DBs on the side, because that's really going to free you up to be able to play, let's say, a cover two, or you're going to be going more toward the ball than you are in a particular area.
Right, and I think, the other thing Chicago had was a really good pass rush.
Yep.
And that makes a huge difference in any of your DBs. If you're pressuring the quarterback at any level, especially in the NFL, it makes playing DB a lot easier. And I think he was, from the stats I saw, around the ball more than any other safety in the league, which makes a big difference. And obviously the Packers filled a huge need. They had no safeties. They were playing a corner at safety at the end of last year and an old corner at that. I would expect that going forward. Obviously, they have one starting safety now. They've got to get another one. I don't think there's one on the roster yet.
Yeah. Let's talk offensive guard, Billy Turner out of the Broncos. They're desperate for depth on the offensive line. We have, if in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL, arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever in the NFL. We're not going to have him for that long anymore. I mean, what's he, 35? Something in that neighborhood. He's been getting sacked 40 to 55 times a season. He's had a couple of injuries now. Last year he played through it. The year before he missed most of the games. And the game itself has changed. You know, I look and say Brett Favre would never happen now. He wouldn't be allowed to happen now. They've got the tent. They've got the neuro guy. Anytime you have any type of a potential concussion, you're coming out. You're going to miss a game or two. The game has just changed so much in this few number of years. We need to take advantage of him. The only team that I remember that has back-to-back quarterbacks like we've been so fortunate in Green Bay to have would be Montana and Young from San Francisco. And everybody knows what happened after Young retired. It just kind of imploded from there.
I think that's what we're all afraid of, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We are. You know, obviously, as Packer fans, we've been blessed. There's nothing like it. You know, like you said, Montana and Young, but it's even they weren't around for the, what have we had, 25 or something crazy like that years of
right.
Favre and Rodgers, you know, and there's no other franchise in America that's had back-to-back Hall of Famers other than, like you said, Montana and Young. And yeah, this is the window. And it's great to see that Gutekunst is willing to spend in free agency, unlike Thompson. And I think we did waste a lot of years of Aaron Rodgers' prime because we were draft and develop. And throwing a bunch of young guys on the field who weren't going to help him win Super Bowls.
Right.
Whereas now, you know, he picked up three starters for a defensive unit, which, like we talked about earlier, allows him to go into the draft and take best player available or take weapons for and get weapons for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I saw last night that apparently Green Bay is still in the running for Le'Veon Bell. I'm not sure if he signed today or not, but
if he didn't, that would be to put a weapon like that on the field with Rodgers would be. I'm touting the Super Bowl pennant already. If that could happen and keep everybody healthy, and that would be amazing to me.
We like to think that, but then I think, you know, we also have to check reality, and the reality is the last 2 years the Packers are sub 500. You know, what are they, 15 and 24
right.
the last 2 years? Do you go from that to winning a Super Bowl? Just signing four guys, three starters on defense, and kind of a journeyman O-lineman, but he is a depth piece.
Right.
Is that enough? And I think the only way that gives you hope to that is Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Yes, he can win a Super Bowl, but the rest of the roster can't. And hopefully that changes it. And obviously on defense, it changes it a lot.
Well, I'm a huge – you're a defensive guy as we've got 1 minute left. Coach, to me, defensive win championships. We need to give Rodgers a top 10 defense.
I think they will be next year. I like Mike Pettine. He did a really good job with fairly limited personnel last year. And, you know, they just signed three starters yesterday. I think they'll get a few more in the draft. I think they'll be a top 10 defense. It's just how fast will LaFleur's offense take hold, and how fast will Rodgers adapt to it, and hopefully we don't see him hold the ball and run around all the time. And I think they're better when he gets the ball out on time, and that's what they need to do.
Head coach of Kenosha Bradford, Troy Bowe. This has been Time Out. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Support comes from the Racine Symphony, presenting Summer Pops Friday.